Once more unto the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting second hour of the Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake McClure.
And if today is Saturday, December 28th, year of our Lord 2013, then we're live. And if it's any other day, we're not live.
Oh, that's dead. I hope we're not dead.
Well, I mean, you're right. I don't know. Life and death are opposite. What is live? Recorded, I think, is the opposite of live.
If you're doing live bait fishing, it's the opposite of something. I'm sure that
it's
would be.
It's obviously the opposite of recorded bait
maybe
fishing.
Maybe it's recorded bait fishing.
Right.
That's probably
exactly.
What it is. You're right. Oh, I feel much better now.
All right. Good.
Thank
okay.
you.
Well, if you'd like to give us a call, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400. We had a question that is similar to many questions we've had over the last year or so about Obamacare. At the end of last hour. I don't wish to kick this horse further than we need to.
Actually, this horse has been out in the sun long enough that kicking it produces really stinky effects.
Yes. The reality is that there are some very good features in Obamacare, and there are some very bad features in Obamacare. And until we get together and say, let's fix the bad ones, those bad ones are just going to get worse, and it's going to get stinkier and stinkier.
And
we can't move forward unless we get some cooperation. We can't throw this whole law out. There's not enough votes for it.
And even if there were enough votes for it, there soon wouldn't be, because once it is, if it were thrown out today, there would be so many people
that have insurance
suddenly be without health insurance that whatever congressman voted to throw it out probably would get thrown out.
Yes. So let's take a look at the rationality behind this. I was telling someone the other day that we tend to not give political opinions about laws. We tend to say, here are the problems logistically with the law, and here are the good points logistically with the law. How can we make it work? Our jobs are not to have an opinion about whether or not a law that exists on the books is good or not. We have those opinions, but we try not to use them. What we're looking at is, how do we live under the umbrella of a law that exists and is on the books? If we look at the reality of what are the votes likely to repeal it, not enough. That's the reality.
I would venture to say that the majority of Republicans in the House who have voted over and over again to repeal Obamacare
really don't want it appealed.
Only vote to repeal it because they know the vote will be overridden. And
right.
Because they also recognize that if they voted to repeal it and the vote actually went through, they'd lose their job. And the people who are hammering them here in Bell County or wherever to repeal this law really don't understand what the law has done or is doing, and don't realize what a phenomenal personal effect it would have on them if that law were repealed.
Now, there are a lot of things that need to be fixed, and they need to be fixed rather quickly.
But that means we need to be able to talk about it.
Correct. There are hospitals that may not be in a position where they continue with their doors open without going bankrupt if we don't fix some specific parts of the law. But to say that the law is bad, let's get rid of it, is not looking at reality. Let's take some medication, because math is math, and when you look at the state of the House and the state of the Senate, we don't have enough votes available right now to repeal Obamacare. Therefore, we must look at the bad parts of Obamacare and see what can be fixed. If we make this about we don't want a legacy of a president to be a good one, then we're hurting the country. If we make it about, let's see how well we can make the law that is on the books work, then I don't see how that's a bad thing. If we recognize where are the bad things in the law, let's kind of list them all together and then start discussing solutions on those bad things, then we're moving forward. Right now, we cannot move backwards. We passed the Rubicon. We are on the way down
to Rome.
To Rome, I guess. Yes.
And to getting Caesar assassinated. That's what everybody hopes.
Eventually, Caesar will be assassinated, but that's like 20 years in the future after passing the Rubicon.
Okay. Well,
that's not what we're.
Well, to switch subjects here. By the way, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and we are here, and it's live. If it's Saturday, the 28th of
December, 2013.
December, and you're welcome to give us a call, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
There's some pretty critical issues that we've been talking about a lot. And one of the things I wanted to do is go back and revisit where we were a year ago. I was looking at my notes. I didn't listen to the podcast, but I went back to my notes from the show a year ago. And we talked about a couple of things. One of them has already come up, which is the fact that municipal bonds, particularly in Puerto Rico, are potentially in a lot of trouble and you should not go for high-yield municipal bonds. And some people did, and they're already suffering from that. Another aspect that we mentioned a year ago was that gold prices were entirely too high and were going to come down. I think it's I'm not pleased because I know a lot of people lost a lot of money there, but gold prices are down about 28% this year. Ironically, the stock market is up almost precisely the same amount that gold price is down. I went back and looked at my notes, and in my notes I noted the stock market was historically very undervalued at the beginning of this year. Where is it today? I would say that the S&P 500 Dow Jones Industrial Average are fairly valued at this point, based on history, maybe a little bit to the low side, which means that we would get, going forward, pretty much the average return that we've gotten over history, over a long period of time, 8 to 10% a year. It's going to vary from year to year dramatically. I also say that there are certain areas within the stock market, I'll say that now, that are still quite undervalued and have a lot of potential. More, there's areas overseas that are still undervalued. So there's a lot of opportunity still there. But I was just going back, and I like to do this, and go back and take a look at the what we've done in the past years and see how right or wrong we were. And maybe some of you folks out there who listen and may be able to remember some of the wrong stuff. I don't know. I know this is awkward, but I couldn't find anything where we were dramatically wrong. We've been wrong, but it's been quite a while since we've been dramatically wrong. There are some people who are saying the stock market is dramatically overvalued and you should be in alternative investments or whatever that means. And they're wrong. There's a Dr. Schiller, obviously, who is quite famous for having forecast the housing downturn. And he's come out with all kinds of things now, including an idea that we should look back 10 or 20 years at the earnings and price stocks today based on that. That actually doesn't work at several points in history at all. It forecasts collapses when they don't come, and it fails to forecast collapses when they do come, so
but
I wouldn't pay a lot of attention to that one.
He was given the Nobel Prize.
Yes, he was, but it was up for the housing forecast.
Right.
And, the funny thing is, if you go back and look at his history, he's forecast downturns consistently for about 30 years.
Yeah, well.
And so when one of them occurred, he got a prize.
Yeah. What happens, he got his Nobel Prize for something that was actually fairly right, but we really have to look at what it is that Nobel Prizes are given for. And this is something that was a little confusing to me, but I understand it a little bit more. Nobel Prizes are given for their effect on the scientific community. So if you're talking about a Nobel Prize in physics, it would be the effect of the study put forth by a person that's getting the Nobel Prize on other people's studies. And in this case, Schiller has had a dramatic effect on the scientific journals for the economists. Between the two of us, we take probably three or four different scientific journals on economics. And Schiller's name pops up more often in the past couple of years than any other name. If we should do a this is a properly economist type thing to do. We should do a survey of the number of names that appear in the journals and do a running total on them. I bet we could predict Nobel Prize winners. Because all they're doing is they're looking at the effect to the scientific community based on a paper. And Schiller, he's looking back at the average of the last 10 years' earnings and saying and applying it to today's price of the stock market. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that when we're not in a recession, but we were in a big recession over the last, sometime in the last 10 years, it makes the earnings look like they are not healthy. It makes the earnings look like they are very low for a price. When you look at today's earnings or forward-looking earnings, it's much more reasonable, and that's a problem.
One of the issues with scientific papers, and I do read scientific papers and I pay a lot of attention to them, but when you hear a study in the Journal of American Medical Association or Nature or whatever came out and says that if you eat rolls around Christmas, you'll get cancer or something like
well,
that.
Well,
Every
person that I've ever met who has cancer has breathed oxygen.
Right. But this is
I
the
just
point.
Want you to know that.
There's also some very good papers that have been published recently that point out that negative findings have a lot of difficulty getting publication in a journal. So these guys who come along and get Nobel Prizes, I think, by the way, there's a certain irony in some of the Nobel Prizes, but when somebody comes along afterwards and writes a paper up and tries to get it published that says, we've shown that this guy was wrong as often as he was right.
Right. Well,
this theory.
Negative results.
It just doesn't get published.
Yeah. The publications don't know what to do with it. How do you publish a negative result?
Well,
they want to have a result that is indicative of something, not a result that says somebody else's result is wrong.
Obviously, if they publish the paper of the guy and they said his research is good and we've carefully looked at it and said it's good and it's right, and then somebody else comes along and publishes a paper that says, you know, well, we looked at it and found out it was wrong.
Well, that paper doesn't, unless it has a verifiable result that is,
well, this is
not negative. It has to be a positive result.
Yeah,
of
but the
this,
point is that they, for instance,
it won't get published.
There, I read a very, very good article. It's published online. It's peer reviewed. In which several research scientists got together, and they were able to get it published in the Wall Street Journal, which amazingly is not a peer-reviewed publication.
But it is a journal.
Really, it's a journal.
It's called a journal. So why not?
But they actually went back and tested Schiller's trailing prices, trailing earnings.
I've done the same. I've put it in
and
in,
found
in a
out
spreadsheet.
that it is.
It is not predictive at all.
It's a terrible formula. But
it's a good way of looking back at the past and saying, yep, we had a recession there.
What we're trying to say is that he is screaming the stock market. He's screaming. He's publishing it. He's making speeches. The stock market is dramatically overpriced. It's not. And as a result of, at least and partially as a result of these publications by this guy who did accurately forecast that we had a bubble in the housing market, what people are doing is instead of moving from where they shouldn't be to where they should be, which is in reasonably priced equities, a lot of people apparently are moving from either cash or traditional bond positions into high yield, which, again, is a bad move. So there's a lot of things going on out there that are very, very important to be aware of. But one of the big things is, and I think a lot of people are just still hanging on the sidelines, I can tell you with some degree of confidence, pretty high degree of confidence, it's very likely that over the next 10 years we will see interest rates rise.
Yep.
And when interest rates rise, intermediate to long-term bonds will suffer. And they will suffer a lot. The last time we had a serious, relatively long-term rise in interest rates, it didn't go a full decade. After inflation, the purchasing power of a bond, a set of treasury bonds, long-term treasury bonds, with all interest reinvested, dropped by 50% in about 7 years. Now, that's big, and that is going to be very, very important to be aware of. It's also very important to be aware if you're entrusting your money to a company. Let's just say that you've loaned your money to an insurance company. You established an annuity, a fixed annuity or an indexed annuity or whatever kind of annuity you want to establish. Not a variable annuity, mind you. That's a different animal. But if you establish something other than a variable annuity with an insurance company, and they have a large portion of their portfolio in bonds, they're probably going to suffer losses in their portfolio over the next several years, next decade or so, which brings into question whether or not in 15 years they'll be there to pay off on your annuity. It's one of the things to be very, very much aware of, that when somebody offers you a higher interest rate than you can get on a treasury security, you're taking a risk. If the company that is offering it to you says there is no risk, this is guaranteed, there will be no fluctuations in value, and they're offering you a higher interest rate than a treasury security of the same maturity, then the risk you're taking is a total loss of your money or a huge loss of your money. For example, all the scams didn't make the headlines. There was a fellow by the name of Mark Dreyer who admittedly only scammed people out of about $375 million. Lawyer, law firm, he had lawyers working for him, and people invested through him based on the fact that other people had invested through him. He had a wonderful program where he guaranteed interest rates, and it looks like that the people who loaned him money, they didn't really know they were loaning him money, they thought they were investing, are going to get back about 13 cents on the dollar. That's after 5 years. Don't think that all of the scam artists have been put away. They haven't. They're still out there. They're still working. They are going to be coming out in hordes as people start to lose money in bonds. So just, it's one of those things that as we go into the new year, I strongly suspect we're going to see more scam artists start to emerge like cockroaches from the baseboards.
Yeah, and now I'm going to switch to some good news. This is the last program of the year for us.
Oh, no.
And
you didn't tell me that.
I wanted to talk about some of the things that are coming up, about why we are, in many ways, very optimistic about the future. And that is beginning with, as technology is advancing, and I realize that a lot of people think that the future is going to be worse than the present based on the law in the medical world. If you take a moment and look at the medical advances that are happening, that are advancing our life expectancy, that are making us live longer, this is the reason why Obamacare was necessary, or some form of solution was necessary. We're living a lot longer, and it's expensive to keep us alive. In the next 10 years, 3D printing of organs for transplant will take place for humans, where the organ is grown from the body tissue of the person in question. It's not going to be rejected. There are artificial hearts being implanted right now that don't beat. They are mechanical contraptions that are feeding blood through people's systems. The concepts of where we're going, and this is in order to have that artificial heart implanted that doesn't beat, it just pumps, it just has a constant flow. We had to have decades of human testing. Which means that the technology being used in that heart is decades old. We've only gotten better. The future of health, the future of computing, the future of manufacturing, the future of freedom for individuals is on the rise. And I realize every time I say something like that, I get emails saying, try buying an incandescent light bulb. I recognize where people are coming from. I recognize that the government is clamping down on a lot of things. I'm not talking about governmental freedoms when I say individual freedom is on the rise. I'm talking about freedom. The ability for you or I to know the most esoteric fact about almost anything is available. We can go onto any computer, look it up, find out, do our own research, back it up with other research that's available from many different sources. We have the ability to download how to create items from the internet. And that's only going to get better. The concept of 3D printing, having the ability in our homes to create the food that we eat based on some very simple raw ingredients, to create the items that we use in our day-to-day life based on printing it up right there for us. It's at the very beginning. It's baby steps right now. The 3D printers are very much like a toddler taking its first steps. It falls down a lot. Give it a few years, and we're going to look back at this point and say, when did we not have the ability to make whatever we wanted? It was a real quick example. There are a lot of security issues that we have to figure out too. But if we have the plans to, I have a BMW, and I have a key that is a key fob. It used to let me open my door as I walked up to it and put my hand on my car. The car would unlock. I would open the door. I would sit down. I would hit the start button on my car. It would know I had the key. It was a little rechargeable battery in there. That little rechargeable battery died. It doesn't recharge anymore. It costs only $600 to get a new key, or I can use it as a mechanical key. In the future, we'll be able to print that. But just like we have security issues today on our bank accounts, we're going to have security issues in the future in lots of areas. We just have to be careful as we go along. It's new technology. And as a quick side note, bank robberies in the United States and in every industrialized country are at record lows. And that includes going back hundreds of years to a time when bank robberies, you know, a decade ago, well, we're talking about...
Because there's been a change in the economy.
We're talking about 5% of what it was a decade ago.
And, you know, was it... The guy that theoretically said it but never actually said that, why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is.
Right.
But that's obviously not true.
Not true anymore.
It's obviously in the Target credit cards.
Right. So bank robberies to go and get cash are on massive decline. And it isn't because robbers don't want money anymore. They're just robbing credit card companies online. Well, Target got hacked. That's the sort of bank robbery that's going to be the future. The same is true in manufacturing and everywhere else. We'll be able to create what we need. Imagine printing the parts for your own car and then having somebody put them together or having them printed out in a company nearby.
That's not the
sort of thing that is going to be the future.
I'm not quite as optimistic about that as you are, but I'll take it.
Not necessarily the car, but the rest.
We do have the ability to print our own commercials.
Yes, and we have to play them.
And we play them so that they pay for the show. And or the program, to be exact.
It's really hard when the rest of the world calls the radio program a show. It just doesn't make sense to call it a show, but we're being worn down by peer pressure.
Right. Show is short for show and tell.
Right. And, mostly tell.
But we do have some commercials to play, and we'll be back on the other side with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. If you'd like to give us a call on the other side of the commercials, the telephone numbers here are 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
And we'll be back. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. Your timing was off a little bit there, too.
Yeah. I'm not sure how to say my name sometimes.
Well, it was the and that threw you this time.
Yeah, right? And or these connector words.
Right, here. Yeah. Anyway, telephone number's in here, 773-1400. Of course, that's 254-773-1400 if you're using a cell phone. 866, or the other, well, let me back up.
Yeah, let's go backwards.
254, if you're using cell phone, 773-1400 locally.
Or 1-866-597-1400 anywhere else in the sound of our voice.
Nothing like having my timing off. You know, we've discussed the debt of the United States, the outstanding debt and the instanding debt and all that kind of silliness. And I've said over and over again, I don't think it is bad at present. I don't think it's out of control. I think, and it is coming, the deficit is dropping more rapidly, and this is without, it has nothing to do with tax law changes or budgetary changes. It's just because as the economy recovers, we pay more taxes because we're making more money. But the deficit is dropping at the fastest rate since the end of World War II, which incidentally was a time period when our debt to GDP ratio was higher than it is now by a whole bunch. But I wanted to put something in context. People look at the Chinese and say, well, they have no debt. Not true. Officially, they're reporting 20% of GDP is debt, as public debt. But in fact, when people, outside analysts, have taken a look at it, they say it's really 55% because they have a lot of off-the-book debt. We do that too, by the way. But we found a way to count it in. But they have a lot of off-the-book debt too. But if you bring their off-the-book debt for state firms, for example, state manufacturing firms that are owned by China that have made, that have borrowed money to do things, and since the company is owned by China, the nation, and it borrowed money, those are considered debts that are, that have to be paid by China. If you add all of those together, their debt to GDP ratio is 55, somewhere between 55 and 65%. Ours is about 70%. Now, this is not counting the money that they have obligated to pay to their own citizens any more than we're counting in the United States when we say we have a 70% debt to GDP ratio. We're not counting that either. Oddly enough, the Chinese are increasing their debt at a much higher rate than we are. They are still increasing it dramatically. And within a few years, it appears that the debt to GDP ratio in China will be identical with ours, which is a really fascinating concept. It's one of those that kind of got my brain pointed in a different direction. We have a caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I've got a family trust question. It was put together because I have a few people making mortgage payments, but their payments are only $200 a month. And since they couldn't afford more than that, they're going to be making it for a long time. And by the time they get finished, they will be making payments in Texas to somebody that lives in Missouri, and I will be discontinued. What is the red tape in a family trust, since you mentioned trusts a while ago?
Whoa.
Wow.
You're asking on the wrong show. Let me tell you, you're talking about a complicated, very complicated, no. Very, very, very complicated legal question.
Yeah.
I wouldn't touch that one with a 10-foot pole. You need to be speaking to a qualified attorney that understands trust.
Right.
And more specifically, since it sounds like you've got mortgages and real estate involved, I would tell you to get in contact with an attorney.
You mean the fellow that was on before you?
Well, he's a good guy and he's great, but he's not. He makes no claims to be a real estate attorney.
And you said what type of trust is this again? Say that one more time.
Okay, it was a family trust. I set it up so that the money that I was collecting from people that was buying from me, they could continue to make payments after I was discontinued.
Did you have discontinued after you've exceeded your shelf life? did you have an attorney prepare this?
Yes, Texas.
Is the attorney still alive and breathing?
At the moment, yes.
Okay, well, probably,
to the best of my knowledge,
probably that is the person that will best be able to address this. Although, if you want this trust to go on for an extended period of time, we have a general set of recommendations, and that is you use a legal firm, preferably with attorneys who are younger than you are.
Okay.
Because you really, if it messes up, you want...
I think the attorney will be discontinued before the payments stop.
Then I think what you need to do is take this to it, and this is what I would advise you if you walked into my office.
Okay.
Find a firm of attorneys that have names all over the place who, among other things, have experience in or are qualified as real estate attorneys.
And also do work in trusts.
Right. And have who will tell you that they are qualified to deal in both of them, and they have credentials indicating they are. And you go to them, and you get them to evaluate the issue. Okay?
Now, you asked what some of the red tape was. And without getting into legal work, it's very easy to give some of the red tape. It's very easy to say, attorneys are charged by the hour. That's part of the red tape. Family trusts, particularly with real estate and that sort of thing in it, have to be evaluated on a regular basis. Bless you.
Excuse me.
That evaluation is also expensive. So there's a lot of things that occur just at the beginning here. If you have an ongoing trust that is being treated in such a way that it will continue after you have been discontinued,
this really takes some thinking. Now, generally speaking, in Texas,
the people making the payments that will be living in Texas, the people that will be taking care of the red tape will be living in Missouri.
That's why I say you need to have a qualified legal firm that understands the laws in both states.
Yeah, and you have to say, where is the property in question? If the property in question is in Texas and you've got payments going to other states, there's a lot of red tape there. A lot of red tape.
And you need a qualified local law firm that is very familiar with this and who can pick up the ball and assist the people who are...
I have to say right away that I prefer duct tape to red tape any day. You can use it for a lot more things.
I actually like Gorilla Tape better.
You like Gorilla Tape? Yeah, well, that's nice. There's another kind of Gorilla Tape now that will harden to the consistency of steel.
Right.
So,
okay.
But
there's two of them that I haven't got all the tape together yet. So rather than using the attorney that I've got, I need to find this firm.
Yeah,
and because I don't have to transfer.
So where do you live?
Temple.
Okay.
I'm going to venture out here just a little bit and make a recommendation. I'm looking over here. There's a guy named Randy Harrell here in town, and he's certainly not the only person. It's Harrell and
I can't
Kubner
remember the name
or something
of the,
like that.
The firm.
But
how do you spell the last name?
Harrell.
I think maybe H-E-R.
H-E-R-R. He's going to look it up here. But he has a lot of experience in those areas. Randy is also a CPA, which means he understands the tax implications.
That's Harrell. It's Harrell and Stobner, P.C.
Yeah. Harrell and Stobner, P.C. Look them up. The thing I can tell you with complete confidence about them is if they feel like it is over their heads,
they'll tell you.
They'll tell you and refer you to another firm. And we've had a lot of really, really good experience with them. They're not the only people in town. I'm not giving them my unqualified backing to do anything and everything under all circumstances. It's just if you were in our office today, I would hand you their card.
Yeah, their practice area involves
pay us nothing, by the way.
It's exactly the areas you're talking about. They deal with trust, they deal with residential and commercial real estate, as well as elder law and a lot of other things that may be important as you go forward.
So I would.
Well, I have been told that I come up with confusing questions.
That's quite possible. You haven't really given us any confusing questions. You have done something that we're fiduciaries and we're professionals. And one of the things that people like us who are in a position of being fiduciaries do, for the Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, when I am a certified financial planner practitioner, one of the fundamental requirements is when somebody hands me something, asks me a question or brings something up on which I'm not qualified to comment,
we say we're not qualified to comment.
And then refer you to somebody who is. And we just did that, okay?
Yes. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you for the call. Okay.
You're welcome. And Happy New Year.
I recommend one piece of advice I can give without reservation. If you can put off that discontinuation date as long as possible, I think it's good.
That sounds like a good idea. I started 4137, and I'm going to hang on to that until death do us part.
That sounds like a good thing to do. Take care of yourself. And
Happy
have a
New
good
Year.
Good New Year. All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
That was a very pleasant call.
Yes. We've got some more commercials to play.
Yeah, we do. So we're going to play some more commercials so that we can make Town Square Media money. Is that what we're making money for pound square?
I guess.
We must be like the Federal Reserve or something.
That's pretty nice.
All right. We'll be back after these critical messages from Town Square Media's sponsors. And we're back with more of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake McClure. Only about 10 minutes left of the last program of the year.
2013, yes. 773-1400 is the number to call in East Bell County. Otherwise,
1-866-597-1400. Anywhere else within the sounds of our voices.
You know, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal today.
I think there's more than one.
That is entitled "The Best Financial Advice I Ever Got or Gave." And it's amazing how profoundly wrong some of it is. So it was really fascinating. John Bogle is in there, says, and he's giving the advice. He's not saying the best advice he ever got was to invest your money in index funds, which I think is interesting because I just recently did a little research and discovered that the majority of his money is invested in actively managed funds.
Yes. He released several times over the past several years, he has released documents saying what investments he holds, and very few of them are the ones that he's talking about when he gets up in public forums and says this is how someone else should invest.
Yeah, and he admittedly most of it is at Vanguard, but Vanguard has some very, very good actively managed funds where people pick stocks and things like that, and they have multiple managers doing it, and that's where the vast majority of his money is, which I think is really interesting since he's been saying invest in index funds and active managers can't beat the stock market. And yet the majority of his money is in a series of active managers who, by the way, have beat their indexes consistently over the years. So that's a really interesting thing. But there is some very good advice. And I want to be – it's basically the same position that where I want to be as time goes forward. There's two things. Sally Krawcheck, who used to be the senior executive at Bank America and Citigroup, and got turned out because she was being too nice. She said, don't ever invest in anything you can't understand.
Yeah. You have another statement about don't ever give advice on something that can't be explained with a big chief tablet and a crayon.
And that was the guy who used to manage Fidelity Magellan, who I've lost his name now. Anyway.
Yes.
But the point is that Hal Steinbrenner, who's a co-chairman of the New York Yankees and has actually founded a series or been a prime investor in a series of financial companies that have been successful over the years, he said, the one thing about money that my dad always instilled in us was to just be straightforward, upfront, and honest. Don't play games with people's finances. Some deals are going to happen because of that, and some deals aren't. It's a good way to conduct yourself in life in general. Really, there are no downsides. I couldn't say anything better than that, and that is the straightforward, upfront, and honest about everything. And as we go into the new year, one of the things I would advise you, and it's no coincidence that we, Jake and I, are principals.
Peter Lynch,
yes.
That was the Magellan guy.
Are principals in a fee-only investment advisory firm. And I would advise you that if you have enough money invested that you really can't afford to lose it at this point and recover, you should be hunting actively for an investment advisory firm that is fee only. Now, why do I say that? I realize there's going to be some people very upset at me about this, and that's perfectly right. There is a fundamental conflict of interest when you go to a firm where there is a financial advisor who may charge you a fee, but at the same time is being compensated separately for recommending. You're going to pay them a fee, but they get what in any other business would be called a kickback for your going to a specific place that this person recommended. This is an extremely common procedure when financial advisors are also investment advisors. They're very different things. And they say, well, we're fee, and we'll give you investment advice for a fee. They also bury deep in their disclosure documents someplace, or deep in the fine print on page 75 of a web page, will be a disclosure somewhere in there when they're working for a broker-dealer that says they may be recommending investments to you that they get paid for separately in addition to what you're paying them. People are people. And if a guy wants to work for a corporation or a gal wants to work for a corporation, they're going to do what the corporation wants them to do. At the same time, they have a job as salespeople to convince you, the investor, that they're only taking care of you, that they're going to give you the best possible advice. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I was a broker for 25 years. I was sincerely convinced I was giving the best possible advice because it was the things my firm told me I should be recommending, and obviously my firm was interested in everybody's best interest, obviously.
That was a little sarcasm there.
Yeah, the corporations obviously are interested in their own best interest. And the second thing is the guy's got to put, or the gal has got to put bread on the table, and if they're offered more money to do one thing and no money to do another,
then they're probably going to do the thing that gives them money.
And the other thing, of course, is that if they're working very, in reality, if a broker is working for a corporate firm, a broker-dealer firm, and they're giving investment advice and they're steering people's money somewhere where the broker-dealer firm that employs them is making less than optimal profits, they're not going to have that job very long. Any corporation is going to get rid of the people who deny them the best profits they can get. And admittedly, independent investment advisory firms where the people are qualified are difficult to find. It's difficult to find them if you don't have at least $1 million. They're there, though. And that's one of the things that we highly recommend is take the time to look for the gold, look for the reality, look for the people who are qualified, who are fiduciaries, who are experienced, and who are willing to give you honest advice that solely is in your best interest. And I realize that that sounds like I'm standing on a soapbox, and you may have a broker somewhere at Wells Fargo, Wade Edward Jones, or something like that that you truly love. But I can also tell you that that's not the best way to get the job done as a person who's been on both sides of that deal.
Yeah, and the good thing about soapboxes, when you stand on them, you get clean feet. Just
could be.
Figure that
it's
that's the case.
You know,
they've got these soap.
Well, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach. We've got about 5 minutes left this
year. Less than
year.
That. We got about 3.5 minutes
left
this year.
About 3.5 minutes left in the entire year, and I want to say that
it's been wonderful speaking to you all.
It's been interesting. We, by the way, do not get paid to do this show. We do it because we enjoy doing it. We don't pay the station a fee to buy 2 hours of time or something like that. We do advertise on this station. But we're here because they need somebody to fill the time and run some commercials.
And every time we talk about stopping, there's a big uproar and backlash that say, no, we like you guys. And it takes us saying, well, we're leaving before somebody says they like us. But we appreciate the listening audience that we have. We appreciate you all very much.
Both of them. We appreciate
yes.
both of
all,
people
all
who
three
listen.
Of you, maybe,
yeah.
if because we don't listen, so...
Well, whoever it is that's listening, we
yes,
appreciate it. And
we appreciate
hope
it very
we
much.
Want you to have a good and safe new year and to be careful. There's a lot of ways to get in trouble with your money right now, and they seem to be multiplying.
Yeah. It's funny. Coming out of a recession, all the scams start coming out, and then once you get really into recovery, they all kind of disappear again, and people start getting taken. Please keep your eyes fully open when you get into any financial situation. Do some research. You shouldn't have a massive deadline to make any important financial decision. It should be something that you have the time and the ability to think about, talk about, sleep on, and do research over before you sign anything.
Yeah, that's a crucial issue. Before you sign anything, before you turn financial information over to somebody, they should let you go back with their information and you take some time to look at it.
Yeah. If you would like to contact us off the air, during the week we have actual living people answering the phone during business hours.
Live.
But live living people.
Right. And that's at 947-1111 locally.
That's voicemail during the weekend. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com, where we have lots and lots of podcasts going back quite a long time. We may actually go and bring back back years of podcasts just so people can listen to things that we said years ago and compare it to what has actually happened now.
Except for like the Dow Jones Industrial Average levels and the S&P 500 levels, there are certain of the old podcasts we can go back and play.
And just play it again. We're like, oh, we're talking about today. You can email us at jeff@tpwc.com, as in thepersonalwealthcoach.com, or jake@tpwc.com. We get a lot of very good ideas about what to talk about on other episodes based on emails that we received. You can also leave us a voicemail telling us how unfunny we are, and we will listen to it, and it will give a kick to the staff at the office. They played it for us multiple times to tell us how unfunny we were.
And they do, in fact, laugh at us a lot during the week. Now, we're not trying to be funny when we're talking to them, but they think we're really funny when we're trying to be serious. So I guess that's it. You've been listening to The Personal Wealth Coach, and until next year, this has been The Personal Wealth Coach.
Happy New Year.
Balance, your Fox News radio station in Central Texas. News Radio 1400 KTEM AM. Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.